Call me if you like. And the name is only an oar laid across water. Imagine that. The story begins where light learns civility in spit and sperm. A room in New Bedford, a table with a lamp that stands up as if remembering a first day in Genesis. The wick is a rib. It divides the dark without anger, but nevertheless can't help but prick. Outside, winter presses its face to the panes and finds its reflection corrected, screaming, devastated by its interior witness. Inside, the air requires a slower grammar. I arrive there to get well, or to let the sea finish an argument that had started with me when I was a child standing at a rail. The city breathed a mixture of brine and arithmetic. Women carried baskets with an exact strength as if their hands had signed a compact with the hour. Men walked with the inward tilt of a creature that remembers masts even when facing bread. The harbor kept its law, tide upon tide, and the lamps along the street offered a mild theology that needed no sermon. The Spouter Inn held a painting that was a brain forecast written by God without apology. A chaos of gray muscles, a white eruption, a boat the size of a mouth, I sat to stew in awe, and was interrupted by a body that moved like a sentence with no wasted words. She crossed the room with a tray and set down cups without making a sound. Her dress smelt faintly of oil and starch. The room had been arranged by women, though the talk thought otherwise. I ate with an obedience I had not practiced in years. The landlord's voice was wind across a field of bottles. The night grew practical, a stranger of sable skin and careful tattoos came to share the bed, and the scene that should have produced a riot in a smaller soul produced only the strange peace of adoption. We spoke little. We slept with the ease of tools that had found their hook. The lamp stood in its clear circle and did not blink. Sunday brought Jonah's parable in timber and salt. The chapel gathered grief as a harvest widow sat with accounts that had learned patience. A preacher raised the book and read with the clipped generosity of someone who had buried too many boys to lie. To any mother, Jonah was not about disobedience to a God who loved a straight line. Jonah was about a direction that tries to escape its own meaning and is returned without malice but probably mad while he spoke. I watched the lamps along the walls. The wicks were trimmed by a woman whose hair had learned the psalter. She moved with the authority of someone who had once held smoke. She steadied the congregation rolling between her legs and listened better.